Welcome back to Between Takes with Opal Entertainment. I'm Aiden Driscoll.
And I'm Livy O'Neill.
And today, we're going to talk about the Starlet series with the National Music House.
We are also so excited to be taking the Enneagram test.
We have been living in the dark for the past several years that this thing has been trendy, and we're finally going out to the mainstream.
So, if you want to hear a bit more about our personalities, according to the Enneagram, sit back and enjoy this week's episode of...
Between Takes.
Boom! Nailed it! I fill out my calendar thing every week or month, and then every week kind of like specifics, and then it has room for goals and stuff. I've never been one to put anything in the, because it's like one of those calendars that it has the questions already printed on the page.
Sure.
I never am one to like, oh, big goals, like, I don't know, get 8 hours of sleep, you know, things like that.
It's just like big practical goals for you, Liv?
I don't know. But I put like, we had thought of the house show tour, and it's like, okay, I want this to happen, so I'm going to write it down in this. I mean, at the time, I was like, I don't know how this is going to work. We don't really. This, I think this was before we knew. I don't know. But I look back, and, like, we are doing the house show tour now. Uh-huh. And so, I don't know. I guess that's just, like, write the goals down. Uh-huh. If anything, it just makes you feel accomplished because you go back, and you're like, I did it. I did my big goal. Which I should do bigger goals, because that's the other thing that I do is, like, sometimes even just to make myself feel good, I'll do something that I know is achievable so that I can cross it off. Or I'll do something and then put it on my to-do list and check it off, even if I didn't like put it on there originally.
Well, welcome back to the show, gang. Liv is taking away the power of God's will and intervention within our lives and giving it all to manifestation.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I think there's something to writing down your goals and like making them something that you see every day as like a forefront in your mind of like something that you want.
Yes.
And it's okay if they're smallish, kind of like.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a good segue. You mentioned the house shows because that was a specific thing you wrote down, because we haven't really talked extensively about the house shows.
We haven't.
And the day that this releases will be the very first day of the house show series this fall.
Is that for real?
For real, for real. Yes. So if you're in the Nashville area, go to nationalmusichouse.org. To RSVP to tonight or any night in the future.
Hopefully by this time we're almost sold out. A lot of things.
The well, tickets are sold because it's free.
Your seats are taken.
Right.
By other people.
So the first one is going to be at We the Least's house. It's gonna be a ton of fun. We'll be hanging out in their living room, sharing a bunch of tunes. Liv and I and our friend Rayani, who was on the podcast last week, are gonna be opening for We the Least, who was on the podcast 2 weeks ago. So,
and throughout the show series, it's kind of fun. I mean, this week, or this first one is in a living room. I think there's one that's going to be at a barn type venue.
Yeah.
Ours is going to be outside.
Like in a backyard.
In
just
like a
chill,
really nice, like big
it's
backyard.
Over in East Nashville. East Nashville is like this perfect melding spot between like bougie hipster and like down to earth. Just like, did you say run down? That's kind of what I was going for. Yeah. It's like
down to earth, real people. It's run down.
It's run down. It's sloppy. Kind of looks like a crack house, honestly. Yes, we are going to be performing in a back alley.
No.
For the crackheads on the mattresses.
But I think that's kind of a fun thing of this tour. It's like you don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get different musicians, different venues, different people. It's going to be. That's the whole point.
A ton of fun. So. Yeah. Yeah. So we're super, super excited to meet y'all and make new friends. And play these shows.
And it's a 6-musician tour.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of different music to listen to. And
everyone
is different, and yet all have kind of like, obviously everyone has different goals, but everyone's like, that we've met and we've talked to extensively. You guys have heard We the Least, Rayani, Harmon. Mm-hmm. There are 3 that are in this tour.
Right.
They care about music and people and sharing stories. So
yeah.
We're very lucky to have found these people off of like
one
night.
Yes. It's pretty
night.
Wild. That was a home run of a night.
I mean, we don't like quote unquote network very much.
No.
And I don't think we were trying that night.
No. And I think it's also, I don't like the make new friends all the time. I like make a new friend and then spend the next year getting to know them and becoming best friends.
Right. And but this it's a little different when you're in the.
Right, but I still have that tendency of like, we should just hang out with We the Least all the time.
I know.
We should just invite Harmon and Rayani to everything we do. We should, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's that kind of,
so.
Which is, it's cool. I like it because they're also that kind of way too. And they're very like friendly and personable, and it's very easy to talk to them and get to know them and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's going on tonight. This is like the first episode we've done in, has it been like 3 or 4 weeks? Just the two of us?
Without a guest?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought you meant without a guest. Like without me, without having guest. No. And I was like, what do you mean? I just guessed. That was my guess. You mean without
having a
external people in addition to ourselves. External is the improper adjective.
I like that. Right there. That is more simple in your mind.
Yeah.
But yes.
Anyway.
This has been the season of
guests.
Of guests.
We had a ton
even
of
though I thought it was like, it was not expected.
No.
It's so fun. It was I feel like this podcast is turning into like so many different things, which is really fun.
I heard, I listened to a podcast and he was talking about how I really want to talk about, I don't remember what it was. I want to talk about such and such, but I feel like I've picked my main, you know, podcast can only have like 3 or 4 things. And like, I feel like I've already picked my 3 or 4 things. And I was like, we have like a dozen things that we go back to. I mean, they
well,
are
I think
rooted
that can get
in similar
kind of boring
to talk about the same 3 or 4 things.
Yeah.
No, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's why we jump around.
I'm
going to
be real. I'm not a really big podcast listener.
Yeah.
Although I real don't know quick. Who to listen to except some of your examples.
Yeah.
Sometimes you talk about like, oh, I was on this podcast where listen to this podcast where this musician came on and this musician. What are those podcasts?
That's the one I'm talking about specifically that I've been listening to is You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes.
What, sorry?
You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes.
Okay. Is that have like, you've talked about like Marcus Mumford and have you not? Is that
I don't think them. That was the one that had the Avett Brothers and Chris Thiele.
Okay.
And
yeah. Okay.
I don't necessarily recommend it. Because they're very long episodes for one thing. I'm not sure about you, Liv. You might enjoy it. But to our general audience, if you like Between Takes, You Made It Weird is probably not your cup of tea. Because it's we are two chill, wholesome, homeschooled kids. And these are worldly people. they're swearing and stuff like that. So I think people probably know what I'm talking about. Anyway. And they're kind of, that was one of the things I was telling you about where it's like half of it is like, that's a really good observation. I really, you know, Chris Thiele, his episode in particular, I feel like he said a lot of things about music and I think, wow, that's such a good observation. That's such a good way to think about things. And some of the other half is like, one time I got high and I found God in the doorknob. And I'm like, guys, you are so dumb.
I kind of like podcast, I think, how, so either it's one person. I feel like, what have I listened to? I don't know. But just like Jordan Peterson maybe or something.
Sure.
It's one person talking.
Most of the ones you've talked about have been more like prepared, like lectures almost in a way.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like I've listened to, I don't know. I like the idea of one person just talking.
Right.
Or it's more of an interview where it's like.
Interesting.
A guest. Like, I would love to hear like these two people or like us.
Right.
Who interview other musicians. I think that would be like, it's almost like an interview that you hear, not just the people like giving ideas, which is strange because we
that's what
that
we do.
And the first season of our, was basically that.
It's not like the Inner Tube is the other podcast I really, really love, which is Josh Taylor from Blind Macau and Kevin McCreary from Say Goodnight Kevin, two YouTube channels. Great. Excellent content they make. I really like it because it changes around a lot. Like they started out and it's a very straightforward, like we're going to give advice on how to become online content creators.
Okay.
And so they're like, here's the cheapest camera to buy when you're starting out. Here's the best editing software.
Sure.
Here's advice for like how to get over, you know, how to find motivation or whatever. And, or, you know, here are the best tips for, you know, not quite as nitty gritty as like here are the hashtags or whatever to use. And part, you know, they started back in 2014. So most of like those early episodes are for the actual, like how to network
are
and stuff like that. Kind of
that's
outdated.
Crazy.
It's
cool. It's not even been that long.
Right.
Less than
but it's
10 years.
Cool too how, I mean, even from the beginning of that show to the end of the show, them talking about and I love that. I love hearing them talk back in, you know, 2016, 17 when, I mean, they're both YouTubers primarily and kind of YouTube drastically shifted in like 2016, 17.
Hmm.
Like how the algorithm worked and how they found audiences and all that.
Fascinating.
And hearing them talk about, you know, they had established audiences and all of a sudden things are different. Now they're appearing to different people or not appearing to the same people as much. And, but it's a good mix of that. And then also just hearing them talk about, we were working on this video, we ran into this issue and here's some things we were talking about. And then just random funny stories that they have. And they both live in Nashville. So that's kind of a fun where it's like,
maybe I should listen. I really haven't given that even a shot because sometimes I look up like musician podcasts or like inspirational and it's just plain boring. So
I think I'm definitely one I need to know the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that many people that are
Of all the podcasts I listen to regularly, the podcast itself is not the only thing they do. It's not the primary thing they
do. I will say like you sometimes in the mood for talking, but oftentimes, like, when I'm in the car driving in the morning to work and from home, mm-hmm. I just want to listen to music. Mm-hmm. So that's like, but you or I have like a more flexible, like, job right. that right. you can listen to some of these things. I'm able to listen to stuff all day long, basically. So I feel yeah. like maybe I would get more into it because I don't know if I could listen to music.
Oh, right, know. And that's kind of what
but
it was.
But it's when like, when I could either listen to music or this podcast I don't really like, I always tend to be like, oh, I'm going to listen to them.
Yeah.
Because like, I want to listen to it so badly.
Over the past couple months, I've shifted. I don't listen to music that much anymore, I which know. I kind of feel cool. bad about in
no,
a way.
No, I think like, well, every time you come home, you're singing something.
Well, yeah, but I know like a trillion tunes, so it's not hard for me to just like hum it to myself
no,
as I'm walking.
No, I think
inside.
It's good to listen to what other people are talking about. That probably gives you inspiration for ideas and...
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. I think there's seasons of life.
Mm-hmm. Seasons.
Of where I'm your stealing inspiration an inner tube is drawn joke. From.
That's the thing about the inner tube. They have some, they're just really funny people. So I hate to be that guy and be like, it's just so hilarious. And it's not hilarious to everyone. But anyway. All right. Shifting gears a little bit. We're talking about a personality. We are going to talk about a personality extensively this episode. Mm-hmm. So.
As many of you know, the trend... 5 years ago.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's been going on a hot minute.
Was take your Enneagram test.
Yes. And this, it's been around for a while, I think, yes. the concept of the Enneagram, which is, it's a bit like a personality test. So I first want to say this. This will not alter how I live my life. I'm pretty confident about
it. Let me say this. This will definitely alter. No, I'm just kidding.
More power to you if it does. To me, this is very similar to like the Myers-Briggs or astrology or whatever, where it's like, yes, there are some things where you can say, I mean, part of it is just kind of like the questions they ask in order to determine your type of person are questions that are pretty concrete in a way of like, this thing happens. Do you tend to do this or this or this, you know, or it's more of here's a situation.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to it type thing? And it's more of like, I strongly agree, don't really agree, neutral, whatever it is, you know, where I feel to an extent like, yeah, that kind of, I don't know that, never mind.
I think it might be more like, I'll take it as more of like insight on, it's like, here you take these questions, they perceive you this way. And it's like, it kind of gives you insight on like how you might react to certain things, interact with certain people,
right?
How, you know, your fears can inhibit yes. you, and you can maybe realize like some insight about yourself.
Sure.
And it's like, oh, I do that. Now I can and like I'm actively not do that. But sometimes people will be like,
they use it as their excuse,
oh,
right?
You're a four.
Right.
Oh yeah, I bet you do that. You know, or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, don't put me in a box.
Right.
Which actually there is one that's, I don't know, like that.
Right.
It is also interesting though, like my mom and her brother, Andrew mm-hmm. are the same number. Mm.
Are they threes?
Shelly, I don't know.
Forget. No, okay.
They're the.
I feel like they are.
I really want to know. Do you know what the three? What's the three?
The three is like the achiever, the one that like wants to do stuff. Oh, what are?
Well, let's go through all of them.
Why okay, don't we go? So we're going to go through. This is on integrative9.com. We're going to read the very first like sentence or two describing each one. We're going to guess each other. Because neither of us have done this. Neither of us know our own or each other's or anything like that. No. So we're just going to read the description and say which one best represents the other one in our own eye, in each other's eyes.
Okay, yeah.
And then we'll take the test
so
and see.
So if I remember right, the test, you're on, like, so here's an example. You're a 5-wing 6. You can either be a 5-wing 6 or a 5-wing 4.
I think.
Like on either side.
Sure, but I think you can have both as well.
Oh, well. I never
because,
heard
well,
but so other, I'm just that's sure, kind of interesting. That's sure. just something to think about, mm-hmm. too. So, when we're giving our answers,
so
we'll say, are
right.
you a 5 more to the 6 or more to the 4
sure.
or 6 to the 7?
You can also be like how this graph is showing, you can be like a 6-wing 3 or 6-wing 9 or whatever. It's like a kitty corner to
can
where
you, really?
You are on the spectrum. Yeah, you can either be like right next to you or like across in either direction. So, it's on this. If you just like look up Google like Enneagram wheel or something like that, and look at Google images, you'll find these images and stuff that kind of illustrate it.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna go right through them.
We're gonna go right
one
through
1 through 9. There's 9 of them.
I think I've read through a little bit of it, of some of them, mm-hmm. and I feel like each one has a little bit where I'm like, that kind of sounds like me, or that kind of sounds like Liv.
Yeah.
So
well,
I mean,
I
there's gonna be
crossover
a lot, but yeah. So
like, what is your main like thing?
So the Enneagram Type 1. The header, the main like title for it is strict perfectionist.
Okay.
Enneagram 1 values principles and integrity and are driven by the motivational need to be good and right.
Okay.
So type 2 is a considerate helper. Enneagram 2s have a motivational need to be liked and appreciated. 2s value relationships and as a result, kindness, generosity, and self-sacrifice are important to them. You think you're a 2, don't you?
No, I was just thinking, oh, the strict perfectionist, I was like, wow, that's a bit harsh, but I do like to be like good at stuff.
Yes.
This kind of had that in it because it says...
Well, that's something that I think Ryan O'Neal said this, who wrote Sleeping at Last, who wrote like the whole album about the Enneagrams.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Have you listened to that album?
Yeah, but I didn't know that that was...
Oh, yeah. He said, I think it was him, said like, read, if you don't know which type you are, read the definition of each one, and whichever one hurts the most is probably you.
Yeah.
So I think like that's kind of...
Yeah, you're not going to pick the ones that are...
Like, right, yeah.
I'm proud of this.
Yeah. So 3 is the competitive achiever. Enneagram 3s are likely to value achievement and want to be the best. As a result, efficiency, results, recognition, and image are very important to them. See, I think part of me is like, I want to be a 3 maybe, until it talks about image and that talks later on.
I was thinking that too, and I was like,
about like they dress to impress type thing. And I'm like, that's not me. I'm wearing jean cutoffs right now. It is a podcast, so they don't see me. There's no need for me to dress up for this. But a lot of people, a lot of 3s probably would. I would wear this kind of no matter what. Yeah. Yeah. We film videos sometimes, and Liv takes a minute and goes and changes and all that. I'm like, well,
it's because it's fun.
I don't want to change.
That's fine. It's mostly because it's fun for me. Okay. I'm not like, Aiden, what a slob.
Yeah. Enneagram type 4, intense creative.
I want to say that's my mom and Andy. I wish I knew for sure.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yep. Enneagram 4s have the motivational need to express their uniqueness and be authentic. 4s value individualism, and as a result, feelings, self-expression, and purpose will be important to them.
Yep, that's my mom and Andy.
Okay. I love that now. Enneagram type 5 is a quiet specialist. Enneagram 5s have the motivational need to know and understand. 5s value making sense of the world around them, and as a result, objectivity and knowledge are important to them. Okay, maybe I'm... sorry, I gotta keep this to myself.
Yeah, keep it to yourself.
Okay, none of this really sounds exactly like you. A couple things here and there, I'm like, yeah, that kind of sounds like Lou, that kind of sounds like Lou.
We're not all the way through yet, dude.
You're right, calm down. Type 6, loyal skeptic. Enneagram 6s value security and belonging, as this style stems from the motivational need to be safe and prepared. As a result, loyalty and trust are important to 6s who strive to be responsible and prepared at all times. Do you think that's you? It's not. That was a joke. That was a joke. It's the point of this is to make each other second guess things. Oh, no, wait, but I want us to be authentic when we answer. We'll figure it out. 7 is enthusiastic visionary. 7s have the motivational need to experience life to the fullest and avoid pain. Okay. Whatever. 7s value a sense. I just feel like that's kind of everyone's goal, right? But whatever. 7s value a sense of freedom and focus on optimism, being inspired, and taking opportunities as they present themselves. Okay. 8, active controller. This is you for sure. Enneagram 8s have a motivational need to be strong and avoid showing vulnerability. They value having a sense of control and being direct and impactful. 8s love challenges and will embody a need for justice, which enables them to protect others. Sounds like many people I know. That's probably... Oh, man. I'm going to be that guy? Am I going to be... I'm not going to be that guy.
This is my grandma, I think.
8?
This
one. Oh, 9? 9 is adaptive peacemaker. 9s are motivated by a need to be settled, and in harmony with the world, and as a result, being accommodating and accepting will be important to them. They strive for a peaceful existence and appreciate stability, preferring to avoid conflict. All right, that's the basic gist of each one.
Cool, 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 cool.
Now.
Oh, are we going to guess then?
Yes. What do you think
I think am? You are a 5-wing 4.
Wait,
wing. So,
5s, they have
I
more,
like,
quiet
I'm
going to
come a little closer.
Okay. Liv's moving her mic.
Apologies. So, wait, can you go to 4 once more to see why I thought maybe you were a 4? Oh, yes. I thought you were a 4, but I think you have... So, when I think of 4s, I think of, like, complete visionaries and, like, Well, I don't know. Not necessarily.
Is this like Damien Chazelle and Gene Kelly type guys?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I don't know.
I think that you are more a five because I think you bring a lot of logic and you're not quite the dreamer in that way. You know what I'm saying? Like you bring logic and sense and like knowledge and you're a verbal guy. So I feel like it says objectivity and knowledge are important to you. I don't know. But I think you are a wing four because I think you have that creative side to you.
Okay, there was one other that kind of that I thought.
Oh, this experience. One?
Seven kind of spoke to me a little bit.
Sense of freedom.
I have a sense of freedom and focus on optimism, being inspired and taking opportunities that present themselves.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of, I mean, that's sound the like kind you. Of good side of me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think these are like the best parts of you, and then they'll go deeper. Like when you get it, it'll be like, here are the negative parts of your trap.
I think.
So maybe you are more of a seven. Seven wing what?
I don't know. Not probably six, I guess. What is six? Value security and belonging. I feel like security doesn't sound like me.
Doesn't sound like something you talk about a lot about like wanting. I feel like
I feel like I'm pretty
talk about that
more. Right. I feel like I'm pretty secure.
Yeah. So
I mean, loyalty and trust are important to me.
Sure.
I strive to be responsible and prepared at all times.
And obviously you're gonna like everyone's gonna want that. But is it like something you genuinely think about a lot?
I mean, being loyal, yeah.
You think about
loyal and trusting others and wanting others to trust me, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like six or seven are the ones to me. I don't know.
More than the five. Is that one a little more
like? Let me go back to five and double check that. That also does make
sense. Making sense of the world around
you. Yeah.
And acknowledge. I don't know what objectivity is important to you. What does that mean? Maybe it is a little bit.
Maybe I'm a
but you talk a lot about like not wanting to nail answers down.
Yeah, but
like big existential.
I mean, I think I have a natural desire to want that, and intellectually, I want to catch myself, and emotionally, I want to catch myself, so that I don't, I don't know, over objective. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, this could be interesting. So you think seven is what you're gonna get?
I mean, I guess that's the one that most speaks to
me. I think that's what you're gonna get too.
What do you think you are?
I think what was two again?
Two is like empathetic, considered helper. There are things here.
I don't know. These ones I hear like two and I see and nine and stuff. And I'm like, it just seems so passive. And I feel like more and more as I get, maybe that was like me like 5 years ago, but I feel like more and more now I don't feel so passive anymore.
Okay.
So I guess it's just like, maybe I'm just thinking of it wrong, but.
Okay. Do you have a definite guess of what you think you are?
I mean, maybe like, I don't know. I don't.
Okay.
What do you
think? I feel like you're either a one or a nine, wing the other one.
You think I'm a one?
Possibly. I mean, let's look a little bit deeper. The gifts of the Enneagram one include principled, one values integrity and want to lead by example. They stand for what is right and good. What?
Nothing.
They're objective. Ones are able to see and judge details, people, and situations objectively without emotion. No, maybe not.
I feel like it's way too, like...
I mean, it's simplified. So maybe we should just get into the test and figure it out from there.
Yeah. But I don't think I'm a one, for sure.
Okay.
That feels like the furthest.
Okay, interesting.
It feels very, like... no empathy. It's very like black and white. And
well, that was something I was noticing. It was like the odd numbers seem to be much more action driven and the even numbers seem to be more emotion driven, except for eight. Eight is kind of an outlier, and nine is kind of an outlier too, where it seems a bit more emotional. Anyway.
This is kind of cool.
So
we think you're a seven. We don't know what I am. Maybe.
Well, I think I'm a seven. Nine. You think I'm a five? Is that what you said initially?
Well,
it's five or seven. That's our collective final guesses. I'm going to say.
Mostly because it said something about like understanding the world around you.
Sure.
And I just think like you, that is you all the time.
Sure. I think you're probably a nine or maybe a three. But let's get into it. Let's see how this works.
So we're going to take the test each. We each have a device to take the test on.
Yes.
It's going to be a real long test.
Yes. So we'll probably, it's either going to be it's probably going to be a long episode no matter what, but it'll probably either be a really long episode or we're going to cut a lot out of it.
So just a heads up.
Between takes. All right, folks, we got our results back and we're about to get real vulnerable with y'all. No, that was a joke. That was a little joke. Olivia, you got real tense all of a sudden.
I'm not tense.
You seem really tense.
I'm a little tense.
You seem really tense.
I'm offended.
No, okay, so before we cut to here, I told Liv I didn't think she was a two. Here's why. It's not because you're not considerate. It's because I think, well, here's part of it. That's the first thing most people will notice of you. You're an incredibly kind, generous, empathetic person, right? Stop. Who's mad at me? Don't be mad at me. Okay. The reason I thought you tended more to one or nine is because that's you in social settings. And I've seen you the majority of the time in professional settings. And when you're in a professional setting, you're very much working hard and striving for perfection.
Well, let's read more of the twos because maybe there's like more.
Okay, so let's look at the gifts of the Enneagram 2. Warm. Their demonstrative and warm nature makes it easy for others to connect with twos, and they are generally very likable. Okay, yeah, that seems accurate.
It's okay if you can tell me if you don't, I won't be offended anymore. Okay. Now that I know you're going to judge. And
stuff. Okay.
Just kidding.
I mean, we are taking a personality test and talking about it, so I feel like we can only go so far before we judge each other.
I know, I'm just kidding. But yeah, let me know what if you don't think something.
Okay. Giving. Twos are caring and have the capacity to anticipate the needs of others, generously giving of themselves to others. People-centered. The twos focus on building relationships, will impact positively on their capacity to step into roles where client and people relationships matter.
I don't know.
What? People-centered?
Yeah. Well, I am people. I like people, but there's different types of... It just depends on this context.
Right. Sacrificing, to support and be there for others, twos will put their own needs and feelings on the back burner. Do you feel that way?
It's weird to say that about yourself. So there are times where it's different parts of life.
Right.
Where I go,
I'm different with different relationships and whatnot, right?
But yeah, I mean, there's definitely times where I don't feel like being there, but I'm going to like, sure. Work hard and be like, we'll say work or something,
mm-hmm.
Especially at different times. It's like, oh, I don't want to be here, but I'm going to do my best and
right.
Put, you know, what does Renee need? What does Jess need? Mm-hmm. That I can. So yeah, I would say I do that.
Okay. Praising. Being around complimentary supportive twos can make people feel very special and giving them a confidence boost. Okay. Okay. You want to look at their blind spots real quick?
Yeah, I do.
Twos may not be aware of the subconscious or hidden intention behind their generosity, caring, and supportive activities. Being helpful may mask deeper motivations.
Yeah, I could see that. I want them to like me.
Are you serious?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not like I'm consciously thinking, but yeah, it's sure. Like I have the need of like, I want people to like appreciate. And,
okay,
like,
okay. Interesting. You got way more relaxed when you start talking about the negative sides of this. When we're talking about the positives, you're super on edge. And yeah, twos may pay attention to people and then disengage quite quickly once they lose interest in them.
What?
Feel like that's accurate?
Aiden.
Do you feel like that's accurate?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Do you think that is? You obviously,
it is sometimes.
Okay.
With me.
Sure.
But it's also because we're besties and because like you just drop out.
I don't think I do that too much anymore, do I?
Their attention may become confused when twos are trying to be helpful to more than one person with different needs.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would say that that's true of you.
Yeah. A little overwhelming, I'd say.
Yeah. You don't necessarily shift back and forth between the two different things over and over and over again.
I don't know.
Generally. The twos focus on others may cause them to not be consistently tuned into their own needs and desires.
This is weird. I feel like a couple of years ago, this would be more accurate.
That's what I'm saying.
But
yeah.
I answered honestly how I honestly would.
Well,
so
here's something that I was saying earlier about like they seem to kind of alternate between like being more action oriented or emotion oriented, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say you're probably a two wing three then.
Sure, because it's like...
Yes.
Yeah.
We didn't get the full thing because you had to pay like $30, so we're not paying $30 just to know this. We're not that invested.
I think there are like some... Maybe it's just because it's like all this whole this twos are all centered, it seems, maybe if you dig deeper, but it's all centered around just like being nice to people.
Sure.
And I just would be curious, like, are there other aspects of the personality or right. is it, because I think this is like, oh, sure. Like,
right. And I will kind of say by the same thing, most of what I've read about threes, of which I am one, finding out that, which I hate saying that because I think I'm going to kind of forget about this as soon as we're done recording this, basically. Do I sound really pretentious and obnoxious?
I don't know. I can't quite tell what you're going to about to say.
Well, as a three, I feel like reading some of the things, I'm like, we kind of sound like callow jerks, like who don't have any like connection to people.
And
we're
threes?
Right. And we're just there to make a buck, you know? Oh, and I'm like, I don't think that's the case. No. So I feel like, and maybe that's part of it, like what Ryan O'Neal said. Maybe you read this and you're like, that doesn't seem quite
but
right.
But maybe it's
that's
like,
the one that's
maybe
most.
Maybe it is.
Yeah. Let's look at their action patterns and see about that.
Okay.
Choose value relationships and will therefore put effort and energy into the development of them. This enables them to establish several deep friendships and connections, drawing people to them through the expression of their generosity. Twos are likely to be generous with compliments, praise, and positive feedback to people around them, as they want other people to feel special, motivated, and well-treated. They often enjoy expressing their appreciation of others in their own way. Often too interesting. Often twos act when it is needed by others. They find it easy to give advice to people and do it freely, and do so freely. They will respond when someone needs a favor, advice, a helping hand. Twos will be quick to act if they sense that someone wants to harm a person they have chosen to protect.
And again, I think I don't know like a ton of people.
Right.
But like I know my family. And I'm the oldest. Like, I think there is something there of, like...
Right.
It's not like every day I'm, like, out fighting the streets and protecting, like, Spider-Man or something.
Sure. And I think I'm also realizing I have seen you over the past year. I have seen you almost exclusively just you and I. You know, the majority of the time, it's been just you interacting with me.
If otherwise, I'm out interacting, but you're not there.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's where it's like some of these, I'm like, that doesn't quite seem right, but that's because we're in a different context when the two of us are together. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just think it's interesting. Huh. Okay. You want to read anything else?
I would agree, like, maybe to a fault, I like, when people, like, let's say, like, I don't know. If we have friends or, like, we talk about our work or things like that, I don't really bring up, like, things I don't like about.
Sure.
And some people do. Right, like, say, like, oh, I would have done that. Or, like, what did you try? So I'm not necessarily, like, I like, with you, because we work together so well, so much. Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about this the other day of, like, maybe I need, well, no. I jump over the, like, compliments and go right to, like, okay, this is what we need to get done. Because we're, like, at that level of,
right,
like,
and that's
trust,
what I was
hopefully.
Saying, is that, like, the two of us are in a very different context than you
where
are
Where if I was
with
working
people.
With someone I don't know, I would immediately, like, say everything positive about it.
Right.
And the things that we're working on is something that I'm also working. So I'm not just going to compliment myself.
Sure. So would you do this? Do you treat Lexi in a similar way that you treat me? Do you skip past the compliment? Lexi's her sister.
I don't think so.
Interesting. So I'm the anomaly where you're allowed.
Well,
your politeness has expired at this point in our relationship.
I don't know if I even have, like, I don't know what situation that would happen where I would need to have. Like,
she's also an incredibly, like, self-sufficient
she's
and confident
very independent.
Person.
She doesn't,
where,
like, look
doesn't
for my
really,
advice.
She doesn't care
so
about
if
people's
she did,
validation.
I would be like, oh, Lexi, like, you're so amazing. But, like, I don't really bring up.
Sure. No. Yeah, I was just asking. I just brought her as a random example.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, let's see what, I just want to double check. Yeah. Well, let's look at what threes are all about.
Aiden's a three.
I'm a
competitive
three.
Achiever.
Okay. I just really
Get
feel like
for
five
you?
Or six.
I think I should read
or
it.
Or seven.
You.
Sure, read it.
Enneagram threes are likely to value achievement and want to be the best. As a result, efficiency, results, recognition, and image are very important to them. Threes strive for success in their chores. in their chores. As they sweep the floor. No. Threes strive for success in their chosen field and tend to be highly flexible and willing to adapt to achieve their goals. Does not sound like you.
It doesn't?
A sellout?
No, flexible to achieve their goals. That's different than being a sellout.
I feel like you're not flexible to achieve. You would rather do things the way that you think that you should rather than achieving the goal.
Sure, but flexible around that, meaning, well, we can talk about that later.
At their best, others will experience threes as hardworking, principled, and receptive, offering the gifts of hope and integrity to the world. In an unhealthy state, the threes over expressed need for achievement may seem self-indulgent and inconstant.
Inconsiderate?
Wait, what am I saying? Self-important and inconstant. That says inconstant.
It does. This stems from a sense
of self-worth that is built on what the three does rather than who they are. I don't think you're like that.
I don't think I'm like that, no. But I mean, that is also the worst. Maybe I'm just an exceptional three. Yeah.
Ambition. Threes are ambitious and have the will and energy to strive to be the best at whatever they take on. They believe in their ability to succeed. Yeah, you're an ambitious guy. Efficient. The resourceful three knows how to do things in a way that is efficient and productive.
I think you hesitated.
So. Right?
I feel like I like to find efficiency.
Yeah, you do, especially when editing and stuff.
Right. It's much more internal most of the time.
Adaptable, along with being willing to adapt to achieve their goals, threes are able to adjust to different situations, people, and environments skillfully.
I'd say so.
I would say, yeah. Driven. The threes, high energy and enthusiasm for project gets things done and pushes others to perform as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Results oriented. Setting goals and applying themselves to achieve these are as natural to threes as breathing. They are focused on the end result. You don't set goals like that. No, it's more like wake up and what's there and then you do
sure.
It.
And it's not like the end result is the prime thing.
And I guess
I'm
that's like
on.
What I meant about the yeah.
Right.
See, yours is all like about like doing stuff. Mine is just about like you're nice to people, but sometimes you do it for your own self. Great.
Well, that's what I'm saying though. To you it feels that way, and to me I'm like, yeah, that does seem and again, I want to reiterate a couple of years ago, and I think you would say so too, that like, and when people first meet you, I would think, and you said, oh, I'm a two because I'm emotional and empathetic and all that, it would be like, yeah, that makes sense. Because
I understand my emotions.
Sure.
Okay. Not because I'm emotional.
Emotional, I use that to mean understanding, empathetic. Or maybe I use them very, very similar to each other.
Sure.
That you have a where other people have intellect, you have emotional intelligence. Maybe that's the word I was looking for. Emotional intelligence.
I think I have intellect too.
You do. I'm not saying they're mutually exclusive.
You said where others have it, you have emotional.
You're dumb.
What do you mean? I'm sorry. Maybe I should just let you talk, but Sometimes yes. I want to, because people are listening, if we were just having a conversation, I would let it go.
Okay.
But it's like, I don't want to be like.
Okay. I don't remember what I was going to say anymore.
Sorry. Okay, let's go on. Typical action patterns. As a doer and goal-directed type, three focuses on the task at hand and are energetic in working towards their goals. Yes. The adaptive three is often referred to as the chameleon, as they change their persona and adapt to their role, behavior, communication, and presentation to suit the audience they are trying to impress. I don't know if that's right. I feel like you're Aiden, and you're one of the few people that I've seen that do not do that in a good way, mostly.
But...
You are the same talking to Rayani and We the Least and Harmon, where I think I'm a little bit different to all of them.
Right.
So that I don't
Which
think that you
adapt.
Which
is why I think you're two wing three. That's part of the reason I think you're two wing three. Also because you are motivated and ambitious and want to achieve things.
Right, right, right.
But I think I am that in a way where not in personality, but in technique and the exact medium I'm connecting
you're gonna
people
do.
Through.
Yeah, okay, I could see
where
that.
Where if like I'm talking to We the Least, well, we're all musicians, so I'm able to talk about music and things in a different way. Whereas if I'm talking to someone who's not a musician,
have, like,
but they're super into, you know, Marge's boyfriend, who's an economics major. I like economics decently well in theory. You know, the principle of economics is interesting to me, so I like talking to him about that, even though he knows way more than me.
But you still like find so much like goodness to coming out of those conversations.
Right, yeah.
That's okay, I can
so
see
I
that.
Think I do adapt
so I'm looking
to that.
At a different way. Okay.
Right. It's not like, and like you said about being a sellout and when talking about being flexible, I don't think those are, that can be
I'm
the
looking
case,
at the negative side
but I
so.
Think, yeah. Okay. Interesting. This is very interesting.
This is kind of funny. The competitiveness of the three will come to the fore at work and in recreational activities. When you play that recreational volleyball, you just get, whoa, so competitive. Do you?
Got yawn all of a sudden.
I feel like you don't care about it enough.
I don't care about a lot of things.
Like recreational activities.
Yeah. I think I'm fine losing things. Yeah. I think I want to make sure everyone's having fun first and foremost.
This one says, some threes are very drawn to activities that allow for individual competition and achievement. While more social threes are drawing to winning teams.
Kind of. Maybe not. Like maybe the phraseology of winning teams isn't correct.
Right.
But yeah, I like the idea. I mean, that's what we're doing with like the house shows, right? Is like I walked into that room and was like, oh, here are all those other musicians. Hey, maybe we could all of us get together and start a team of musicians to do these house shows.
They're talking about this as like competitions.
Right. And I don't think of it that in that really sense.
Cares. Yeah.
But
in a team environment, the threes may find themselves drawn to leadership roles and others are likely to experience them as very energetic and confident. Yes.
That's me.
They dress for success and will make sure that the way they look serves their purpose, ambitions, that's and the audience. Part. What does that mean? Why do they have to? It's like everything, and then it's just like they wear nice clothes.
Right. And then that's where, again, I want to say I'm wearing jean cutoffs. Okay. Right, I want to look.
This is so interesting. Can I read this too? Or
sure.
Typical thinking patterns.
Okay. This will be interesting.
Threes are likely to be very adept at framing mistake. Oh, did I have these on mine?
Yeah. We can go back and look at those if you want.
Threes are likely to be very adept at framing mistakes and failures as learning opportunities, allowing them to quickly move on from these failures rather than dwelling on them and taking the setbacks personally.
I don't know I don't think I automatically... Sorry, I'll let you go first.
Oh, no. Sorry. I was just thinking... I think you take it very seriously.
Yes.
I don't think you, like, let yourself, like, get sunk and dwell in things, but I think you, like, if you make a mistake... Or if you think that you make a mistake, even, or, like... Check yourself about something that you don't share with any, you know, or whatever. I think that you like take that as like a responsibility, duty to like figure
out. So this is where I think part of it's accurate. I think I don't dwell on it in the sense that I move on quickly. But yeah, I think I do take it seriously, but I don't necessarily automatically go, what can I learn from this? You know what I mean? I learn not to do it, I guess.
Yeah,
Yeah.
They find it easy to connect to data that supports their point of view while other information will quickly fade away. As an intellectually calculating individual, the three's mental energy is focused on their goals and what it takes to achieve them. Their thought processes are likely to be quick, enabling them to adapt to changing situations rapidly. They frequently assess or read the situation to ensure that they are acting, engaging, communicating in a way that will enhance the chances of success. The three's competitiveness is linked to their habit of mentally comparing themselves to others, leading to feelings of being better than or worse than others.
I don't know.
Look into yourself right now.
I don't think I do that. I'm not motivated by comparison. I think I could say that pretty confidently.
Yeah.
I'm not motivated because...
Okay, threes tend to over-identify... I don't know if this is a negative, but threes tend to over-identify with their work, whether that work is corporate, parenting, or creative, to the point that which what they do defines who they are.
This is why I think you're a three.
I feel like that is you.
It's super interesting. I feel like you're... three.
You want?
Are we just the inverse of each other? What do you think my wing is then? If I'm a three, you think I'm still think three wing two. Four? Okay.
I think of you more as like a four than a two, but maybe you are a two.
Hmm. Okay.
In like different light than like the how I'm thinking of it. Okay. Do you want to hear the blind spots?
Sure.
Threes are very aware of presentation and image, and this can become self-deceptive when they start believing their own PR. Threes may lose touch with who they really are and create confusion between the real self and their job. No, I don't think you like that.
No, that's not me.
The three finds it difficult to discuss negative issues and will often rush to dismiss. No, you don't. You talk about negative stuff all the time. Yeah, this will be particularly true if the criticism points towards mistakes and shortcomings. But you constantly are like, what am I...
Right.
How can I be better and all these things? But is it because you know that you're like that? Do you like, is that like a step you take?
Maybe. Because, there was a stage in my life where I was incredibly non-confrontational, even to the extent of like, where it was just like conversations that should have been had regardless of how uncomfortable or awkward they may have been. They should have been had in order to try and work through issues weren't had, which caused more tension. So I do think I am... actively working against that tendency in me to try and bring things up and bring it out to the light anyway. Yeah. I don't think the appearance is accurate though. I would agree with the last one though. A three's confidence can be projected as certainty.
Mm.
Whereas certainty easily seems like a good thing. It can seem dismissive of alternative perspectives, thereby keeping people out of a conversation. What do you think of that?
Well, I think the first sentence seems... I don't really know what the other part means. But the confidence... Like, I've asked you, like, oh, you're so confident. You're like, am I? Really?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense, like, that you would feel that way.
I think certainty as in like, oh, I'm so confident in this, then I'm stating it as fact. When in my head, I'm just saying, this is my opinion, these are my thoughts, these are my ideas. Mm. And people may think, he thinks he's got it all figured out, which means that they're not contributing ideas to something I might not even necessarily.
So maybe you're like, you have to work harder to like make sure that people
right.
feel
to
like
reiterate,
they can
hey, I don't necessarily
share their opinion
have
this.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Interesting.
So there's parts of these that are definitely true. I would maybe sometime take another one of these Enneagram on like a different website.
Would
and
you pay
see.
Money for it?
No. This is kind of interesting though. So we didn't really get what we thought we would get at all.
No. What did you think? Did you have a definite guess for who you were?
I thought
be?
Maybe it would be two. Yeah, I just didn't really want it to be.
No.
Mostly just because, wait, I was going to read, did you read the thinking pattern?
As twos are very thoughtful and considerate, they are finely attuned to the needs of others, including those needs others are not even aware of themselves. Since twos spend a lot of mental energy on connecting to the needs of others, their thoughts are likely to be filled with people and their needs, futures, or desires.
So I think what turns me off from these things about like people, I don't think I think in terms of, I think it's correct in its perception of me. I don't think I consciously think, what does this person need consciously? I think I just do it.
Okay. Yeah.
As part of like life. And I think, I realize more and more as I get older, like, oh, not everyone's like that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was like a normal thing. Like you're in a room, you know what, using my cake room.
Yeah.
I know what she's doing.
That's a good example.
And I kind of know what I'm doing, you know, or whatever.
I kind of know what I'm doing.
But I realize, like, as I've gotten older and talked to people, and it's kind of sometimes been like, it can be kind of like, I've learned through people kind of hurting my feelings because I thought other people did that too, but they don't.
Yeah.
And I also think I learned that from theater and stuff too, growing up, because we were taught to like focus on everyone else and not yourself.
Right.
And I think I've also learned, sorry, these more things, but I can tend to fall into fear and self, like, I am also, I answered some of these questions on here, but want to be the best and like kind of almost an obsession with that sometimes.
Right.
So I try to be like, okay, what do they need? What do they need? And I guess I consciously think that sometimes, but it's also, I think it's like a learned habit now.
Right.
Okay. Sorry.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So anyway, so I guess I kind of think I relate to it, but I'm not in this, I feel like it sounds so like high and mighty when it's like they need but it's not conscious.
Right.
It's just like something that is happening.
Right.
Which I don't know if that makes it better, but it's not like I'm like, I'm thinking about everyone every minute of the day and I'm like so nice. And obviously not, but it's like when I'm in those social settings, that's where my mind is going.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it is for the thing of like, how am I fitting in? How am I doing what I'm supposed to doing right by observing what other people are doing? That's how I learn.
Sure.
That's how I learn most things.
Interesting.
How to learn to play the bass, how to learn to play whatever is like, what is Navi doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I work better learning that way than like something else.
And that's, and again, I think that's kind of where you have some three tendencies.
Why?
Of comparison, not necessarily in the bad way of I need to be as good as so-and-so, but comparison in the, what are they doing? Can I achieve that as well? Can I aspire to compete with them in a, I think, on the best of days in a healthy way, in the worst of days in an unhealthy way, which
I don't know if right. I got, maybe I do, but I don't know if I think they're doing that. I'm going to do that even better.
No, I don't think, but I think that's what this is that it's not necessarily because again,
I wouldn't be afraid to admit that, but I guess I really don't think I think that way.
Just reading the definitions, I would have said I'm probably either a 5 or a 7 because talking about the intellectual desires and wanting to improve and wanting things to be objective and wanting to be, you know, a visionary and mindful and all that. But apparently, at least according to this test, I'm not. Yeah. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is really interesting. I think there's more to learn. I don't want to, like, we came into this kind of skeptical. So it's kind of, it is fun, though, to, like, learn about what your answers, like, give you.
Has this changed your life in any way, Libby?
I don't know.
Has finding out if you're an Enneagram type 2 altered how you're going to move forward?
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll have to do some more research. It's definitely interesting and, like, a lot of people take them, so.
Okay.
It's kind of fun.
I think I've maxed out my research on this, so. Okay. Those are my thoughts. Yeah, now you know, ladies and gentlemen.
I really do wish I knew what wings we were.
Right.
But we'll figure that out sometime other
time. Yes. According to Trudy.com, I'm a type 3 and Liv's a type 2.
Woohoo.
Would we?
We did it.
We did it. Congratulations, Liv.
Cool.
Well, folks, once again, if you're in the Nashville area this fall and you want to come see some awesome live music, go to nationalmusichouse.org to RSVP to any of the free shows every Saturday of September and October 8th to see some awesome music. Rock on. Well, folks, we will see you next week for a brand new episode of Between Takes. Oh. Oh, sorry.